Plants grew rapidly along the shoreline. There were no fish in these waters, but there were clams and snails. Pterosaurs swooped down to scoop algae from the surface. A few carnivorous dinosaurs prowled the swampy shores of the lake, moving among the palm trees. And offshore was a small island, about 2 acres in size. Ringed with dense vegetation, this island formed a protected sanctuary, where herds of herbivorous duck-billed dinosaurs laid their eggs in communal nests and raised their squeaking young. Over the millions of years that followed, the pale green alkaline lake grew shallower and finally vanished. The exposed land buckled and cracked under the heat, and the offshore island with its dinosaur eggs became the eroded hillside in northern Montana which Alan Grant was now excavating.
Hey, Alan!
He stood, a barrel-chested bearded man of 40. He heard the chugging of the portable generator and the distant clatter of the jackhammer cutting into the dense rock on the next hill. He saw the kids working around the jackhammer, moving away the big pieces of rock after checking them for fossils. At the foot of the hill, he saw the 6 teepees of his camp, the flapping mess tent, and the trailer that served as their field laboratory. And he saw Ellie waving to him from the shadow of the field laboratory.
"Visitor!"
she called, and pointed to the east. Grant saw the cloud of dust, and the blue Ford sedan bouncing over the rutted road toward them. He glanced at his watch. Right on time. On the other hill, the kids looked up with interest. They didn't get many visitors in Snake Water, and there had been a lot of speculation about what a lawyer from the Environmental Protection Agency would want to see Alan Grant about. But Grant knew that paleontology, the study of extinct life, had in recent years taken on an unexpected relevance to the modern world. The modern world was changing fast, and urgent questions about the weather, deforestation, global warming, or the ozone layer often seemed answerable, at least in part, with information from the past. Information that paleontologists could provide. He had been called as an expert witness twice in the past few years. Grant started down the hill to meet the car. The visitor coughed in the white dust as he slammed the car door.
"Bob Morris, EPA," he said, extending his hand. "I'm with the San Francisco office."
Grant introduced himself and said, "You look hot. Want a beer?"
"Jesus, yeah."
Morris was in his late 20s, wearing a tie and pants from a business suit. He carried a briefcase. His wingtip shoes crunched on the rocks as they walked toward the trailer.
"When I first came over the hill, I thought this was an Indian reservation," Morris said, pointing to the teepees.
"No," Grant said, "just the best way to live out here." Grant explained that in 1978, the first year of the excavations, they had come out in North Slope octahedral tents, the most advanced available, but the tents always blew over in the wind. They tried other kinds of tents with the same result. Finally, they started putting up teepees, which were larger inside, more comfortable, and more stable in wind.
"These are Blackfoot teepees built around 4 poles, Grant said. "Sioux teepees are built around 3, but this used to be Blackfoot territory, so we thought..."
"Uh-huh," Morris said, "very fitting." He squinted at the desolate landscape and shook his head.
"How long you been out here?"
"About 60 cases, Grant said. When Morris looked surprised, he explained,
"We measure time in beer. We start in June with 100 cases. We've gone through about 60 so far."
63, to be exact, Ellie Sattler said as they reached the trailer.
Grant was amused to see Morris...